Houston.
The unruffled beat of Clouds Below Your Knees by Ray Lynch signals Thursday, 10 p.m. And time for So What's Your Story? The only program originating in Houston devoted entirely to storytelling right here on listener-sponsored 90.1 KPFT Houston. I'm your host, Dr. Hank Rubicek, professor of communication at the University of Houston downtown, along with Jacob Reiner, work of the boards. You know, every year we welcome the holiday season, and here it is again, huh? Complete with the chaos and confusion that we mistake for excitement and anticipation. But the season also inspires a kind of self-discovery, perhaps in the form of a reflection, revelation, or contemplation, all serving up a variety of trajectories pointed directly to the soul. We share family stories, secrets, treasured moments that dot our narrative landscapes. And then there are tales of enchantment that allure even the most cynical among us, because these are stories that smack of that one thing we all need during this time of year. Magic. Fairy tales, fantasies, legends, lions and tigers and bears, oh my, all poised to take us on fanciful journeys into both the unknown and the familiar, depending on how many times we've heard the stories before. But whatever the case, they all work. But you know, of all the traditional genres, folk tales might be the ones we adore most. Names like Paul Bunyan and John Henry come to mind, as do The Fox and the Hound and The Tortoise and the Hare, Three Bully Goats Gruff, to name a few of the thousands available to us. Native American, African American, Irish, Jewish, every conceivable culture on the planet has a set of folk tales in place to punctuate their unique lives. Traditions and customs are kept alive, where heroes abound and animals personify humans with aplomb. But the best thing about these stories is that they are fun. And that's what it's all about tonight, folks, because we're going to have fun telling a couple of tales with the help of two dynamic young ladies, Lydia Jackson and Precious Awaga. Both students currently enrolled in my storytelling course, and Lydia is a Spanish major with a minor in translation. She's also an actor, having played in several productions at UHD's O'Kane Theater, most notably in Little Shop of Horrors, where she also showcased her talent as a singer when she starred as Audrey, all of which yielded her the Best Actress Award at UHD this spring of this year. She's also a peer tutor at the Reading and Writing Center, secretary for the UHD Animal Rescue Club, and copy editor for the student newspaper, Dateline Downtown. Precious Awagu is a junior pre-med student majoring in biology and is a member of Scholars Academy. She was also on the forensics speech, not deaf team in high school, where she cultivated a love of expression and language. How are you guys doing? Excited?
Good. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Good. You look thrilled. Just relax. Relax. Yeah, you guys need a Valium. Now, how does the two of you feel when I asked you to be a guest on the program?
I felt like one of a kind.
What do you think?
I felt like one of a kind.
Really?
Yeah, no.
One of a kind?
I was excited. I was really excited. I was looking forward to it.
You're not nervous, are you?
Just a little bit.
A little bit nervous?
Just a little bit.
What about you?
Definitely.
You're an actor. Are you nervous?
Well, yeah. No, I was very excited when you invited me. And, yeah, I've done, you know, some acting here and there. But, you know, one of the things they say is that if you're not nervous, something's wrong.
That's right. If you are not nervous, it means you don't care. And that's the truth.
Yeah.
Big difference between feeling apprehensive and anxious. You guys aren't anxious, are you? You ready to throw up or anything? Are you dizzy? You feel like you have vertigo, then you're okay. You're good to go. Now, I didn't even know that we had an animal rescue at UHD. Lydia, how did that come about?
So it's actually all thanks to Dr. Aaron Gillette, who is a professor of history at the University of Houston downtown. My boyfriend Jason has had several classes with him as a history major, and understanding that we were both animal lovers, Dr. Gillette approached me because he was looking for students to act as sort of the core to start getting the organization going. And so we have actually done our first event a couple of weeks ago. We had our first actual meeting, and we have actually partnered with Houston Pets Alive, which is the Houston version of Austin Pets Alive.
Wow.
And so their mission is to just try to take pets and dogs and cats from shelters that are just overflowing and can't take in any more animals, or pets that are about to be euthanized, and try to save them.
Yeah. And it's amazing. I didn't even know we had that. I just had no idea. Absolutely remarkable. Let's start with you. Let's start with your story. Let's start with your story, Lydia. Your story, The Tale of the Three Brothers from The Tales of the Beetle and Bard by J.K. Rowling, is a terrific story. I really love this story. And I'm always fascinated why people choose the stories that you do. And what do you love about the story so much?
Well, the first thing is that it's actually from Harry Potter, and I love everything to do with Harry Potter. So it's a bit unique because within this fictional world, the Harry Potter wizarding world, the tales of Beetle the Bard are kind of like the equivalent of Aesop's fables.
Right.
Right. So it is a folk tale, but it's a folk tale within fiction.
Right, with a little bit of a fantasy peppered in.
Right. And it's just an amazing story because you've already got the magical, fantastical setting that it's in, and it incorporates, you know, being a wizard and the magic into the story. But the story itself is something that's completely relevant to our reality, to, you know, anybody's reality, really, because it's about hubris, you know, and the futility of trying to cheat death and trying to, you know, fight mortality.
Tell us your story.
So, The Tale of the Three Brothers. Once there were three brothers who were traveling on a lonely, winding road at twilight. After some time, they came upon a river which blocked their path. It was too deep to wade through and too treacherous to swim across. But the three brothers, being skilled wizards, they simply pulled out their wands and magicked a bridge out of thin air. But before they could cross it, they found their path blocked by a hooded figure. It was Death. He was angry, and he felt cheated out of three new victims, because normally travelers would drown in the river. But Death was very cunning. He pretended to congratulate the brothers on their magic and their skill, and he told them that each of them had earned a prize in being clever enough to evade him. So he went to the first of the brothers and asked him what he wanted as a prize. And this first brother was a combative and aggressive man, and he wanted the most powerful wand in existence, a wand that must always win duels for its master, a wand worthy of one who had conquered Death. So Death took a branch from a nearby elder tree and fashioned it into a wand, gave it to the first brother. The second brother was an arrogant man, and he wanted to humiliate Death even further. So he asked for the power to recall loved ones from the grave. So Death picked up a stone from the riverbed and gave it to the second brother and told him if he turned it three times in his hand, that it would give him the power to bring back the dead. He then turned to the third brother and asked him what he wanted. And now the third brother was the youngest, and he was also the humblest and the wisest of all the brothers, and he did not trust Death. So he simply asked for something that would allow him to go forth from that place without being followed by Death. And Death, reluctantly, cut a cloth from his own cloak of invisibility and gave it to the third brother. Then he stepped aside and let the brothers continue on their way, and so they did. They talked with wonder of their adventure that they had just had, and marveled at the gifts that Death had given them. And eventually, the three brothers parted. Each went on to his own destination. The first brother traveled on for about a week or more until he came to a small village where he sought out a wizard who he had an old grudge against. The two wizards had a duel, and of course, with the Elder Wand in hand, the first brother conquered his enemy and drunk with power, he started to boast loudly that he had the wand he had snatched from death itself, the most powerful wand in existence, and that he was invincible. But that very night, another wizard crept into the first brother's room, stole the wand, and slit his throat for good measure. And so, death took the first brother for his own. Meanwhile, the second brother journeyed back to his home where he lived by himself. After arriving there, he took the stone and turned it thrice in hand. To his delight, the girl he had once hoped to marry before her untimely death appeared before his eyes. But there was something wrong. Soon she turned sad and cold, for she did not belong in the mortal world. Driven mad with hopeless longing, eventually the second brother took his own life so that he could finally join her. And so, death took the second brother for his own. As for the third brother, death searched for him for many years but could never find him. It wasn't until he had attained a great age that the third and youngest brother finally shed his cloak of invisibility and gave it to his son. He then greeted death as an old friend, and together they departed this life as equals.
Beautiful, beautiful. I love that story. And it does have, you're right, it is very, very Harry Potter-ish, because it does have those, the particles of a fantasy. But what I love about the story is that it is really a folktale. It's a folktale because one of the things that is very special about folktales is that there are some sort of inanimate object or some kind of life cycle, in this case, death, that personifies human beings. And consequently, we can speak to death or life or God or water or a sea or anything other than animals, because that would make it a fable. But we talk to these objects in the sense that we're trying to solve a very innate problem. And I love the sequencing of that story. But this really is a story that smacks of both a fantasy and a folktale. You tell that so beautifully. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the essence of these kind of stories in just a moment. But I am Hank Rubicek with Jacob Reiner, and you are listening to So What's Your Story with guest storytellers Precious Owagu and Lydia Jackson on listener-sponsored 90.1 FM KPFT Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, and 90.3 for our friends in Livingston. Precious, where did you go to high school?
I went to West Side.
And how'd you become interested in competitive speaking?
Actually,
you're in pre-med, right?
Yeah, I know, right?
And, you know, and of course, you're a Spanish translation, so both of you are strange. But that's okay. You have multiple interests. Gotcha.
Yeah, so I was actually taking speech as a part of the curriculum in sixth grade, and my teacher at the time, she was, you know, impressed by my performances, and she enjoyed them, and so she encouraged me to, you know, join speech tournaments and compete, and that's exactly what
I
did.
You were in declaration, and you were original oratory, right? Anything else?
Impromptu acting, impromptu duet acting,
Yeah, you were artistically ambidextrous.
I was just everywhere, all
over
the place.
How long did you do that?
All 3 years I was in middle school,
No kidding.
Yeah, so sixth, seventh,
wow.
eighth.
Wow, that is so cool. Now, your story is a fable, and I was sort of leading into that when I was talking about Lydia's. Your story, The Tortoise and the Birds, is an African folktale. This, again, is a beautiful story. Now, you told me that your father told you the story when you were a child.
Yes.
A little bit different question for you that I was asking Lydia, and that is, what do you remember feeling? What do you remember feeling like, Precious, when your father would tell you the story as a child?
Excitement, intrigue. I anticipation, really, because all his stories that he told me, they always had a message at the end. I mean, that was part of his parenting.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
So trying to teach me, you know, simple things, not to lie,
not to
steal.
So he was the real storyteller.
Oh, yeah,
we're
going to
find
definitely.
Out who the storyteller was in your home, too, in a few minutes, because this is important stuff. Let's hear this beautiful story.
Okay. So depending on, if you've been to the zoo, you've seen all the animals and their different characteristics, and you've seen what makes them unique. And depending on who you are either think that God created each animal in his own image, or you believe in the theory of evolution and natural selection and that we are all derivatives of a common ancestor. Either way it goes, there's always two sides to a story. And The Tortoise and the Birds is a perfect example of a side of a story that tells us how the tortoise got its unique shell. A long time ago, when the animals could still talk, there was a famine in the land, and The famine was so bad that there was absolutely no food in the animal kingdom. Many of the animals began to die off one by one. But Tortoise was cunning, and he was clever, and he was determined to find a way to give food to himself and his family. One day, the tortoise noticed that the birds weren't starving like the other animals. I mean, they looked fresh, and their feathers weren't drying up. He made it his business to find out what their secret was. The tortoise went up to the birds and asked the birds, "What's their secret?" Of course, they were reluctant to tell him. However, after reassuring them that he could get them even more food if they told him what their secret was, they conceded. They explained to the birds explained to the tortoise that the people of the sky were responsible for the meat on their bones. And so, the tortoise, with his cunning mind, he developed a plan. He told the birds that he would be their spokesperson if they agreed to help him get to the sky. All the animals knew, all the birds knew, that the tortoise was an amazing orator. So with that, they developed a plan. Each bird was to contribute a few feathers to the tortoise so that he can build wings that would enable him to fly. On the day that the tortoise agreed to go to the sky, the tortoise put on his plumage and was finally able to fly. When they all got to the sky, they were given a grand welcome. As their spokesperson, the tortoise introduced himself and spoke on behalf of the birds. Since he had the most unique and the most colorful plumage, the sky people thought that the tortoise was their chief. When they served the food, they served the tortoise first as a result. The birds were not pleased with that. However, the tortoise had another trick up his sleeve. He told the birds that on grand occasions such as these, each animal was to take up an alternative name. After the birds each chose a name, the tortoise chose the name All of You as his name. When the hosts brought more food for the guests, the tortoise made a point of asking who that food was for. "Well, the food is for all of you," the host said, with a smirk. The tortoise turned to the birds and stated that since the food was for all of you, and his chosen name was All of You, the food was for him and him alone. Poor birds. They watched angrily as the tortoise ate everything. When it was time to go, the birds were so angry that they each took their feathers back from the tortoise. He was now unable to fly back home. Sensing danger, the tortoise begged the birds to send a message to his wife to bring out all the soft things from the house so that when he jumped from the sky, he would be okay. All but one bird refused. The angriest bird of them all, the eagle. He agreed to give the message to the tortoise's wife. So, the eagle flew back to the tortoise's house and told his wife that the tortoise had requested that she bring out all the hard things in the house. Of course, she began to do just that. She brought out the table, the wooden chairs, all the pots and pans and plates. The tortoise could see his wife from the sky bringing out all the stuff, but with his limited vision, he couldn't make out what it was. So he assumed that the eagle gave the tortoise's wife the correct message. The tortoise jumped from the sky, and he was in for a rude awakening. He landed on all the hard things, and his shell cracked into many pieces. Being a loyal wife, she helped the tortoise put his shell back together. I'm sure the tortoise learned his lesson, but that is why the tortoise has a cracked shell.
Very good. All right. You know, the eagle is very prominent in African literature, let alone folktales. Mm-hmm. What makes that an African folktale?
It was actually in the book, what is it called, Things Fall Apart, okay, by Chinua Achebe.
Right. And okay, talks so about it was how, an African yeah. anthology. But, yeah. Okay. Yeah. African folktales are very similar, really, to American folktales. Animals change. They really do. Animals change. A tortoise is transformed. The tortoise is a wise soul, right?
Definitely.
And the eagle is an angry one. And it's ironic because it is the icon of the country the eagle is, and there are very few folktales with an eagle in it. And that's something to be thinking about. And believe me, folklorists have been trying to while away that one for a long, long time. Very, very good. Very quickly, what's the parable? What do we have to know about that story? What do we learn?
You can be cunning and you can be clever, but it can only take you so far.
It can only take you so far. So that's something Donald Trump should learn from.
Yeah, right? Oh, definitely.
Right. Very
yeah.
good. And in a sentence, what is your parable about? What was your story about? What's that parable?
You can't cheat death.
You cannot cheat death. Why isn't that the truth?
Yeah, the best you can do is just try to stay away from it
right.
as long as you can
That's
and then
right.
be ready for it
right.
when
That's,
it comes.
And you know, the reason I wanted both of you to talk about your parables is because folktales are profound because they're unprofound, if that makes any sense. What makes them so punctuated in our lives is the fact they really do keep certain customs and traditions alive. In this case, the idea of being smart, of being cunning, is a good thing in the context of this tale. The idea that death is really a continuation of life, and we don't fear it, we stay away from it, but we don't necessarily fear it, is a very important part of that precedent of that story. But I love watching the two of you as the stories unfold. It's always fascinating to me, because you really have to think about those images as those stories unfold, don't they? They are just terrific. You guys are really excellent, excellent, excellent storytellers. I'm so glad you're here sharing those with us. And speaking of really great storytellers and storytelling, Jacob, do tell our listeners about the best darn storytelling group in the state, please.
Well, you must be talking about the Houston Storytellers Guild.
Coincidentally, I am. As a matter of fact, I am. Very good. Very good.
They are hands down the most supportive venue for learning to tell and listen to stories of all kinds. The monthly story swaps are on the third Tuesday of the month from 7 to 8:30 p.m., located at the Multi-Service Center at 1475 West Gray.
Very good, and I want you guys to come. I invite everybody. Sometimes you guys show up, sometimes you don't. But
oh,
you
yeah.
two really have to be there.
Love to.
Although you live like in Dallas, don't you? You live really far from here. Woo! Do you live close to here?
Relatively, yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, like at Oak Forest area.
Yeah.
So.
If I can throw a ball and hit the building, I'm close. Okay, that's my idea because I hate driving. Okay, very, very good. Thank you, Jake. Saturday, November 21st is Telebration. All of you are going to want to hear this one. It's the National Day of Storytelling, and the Houston Storytellers Guild does it right by hosting the top tellers in the state. What else do we need to know, Jake?
Well, some of the best tellers around will engage. Engage us with their signature styles from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Black Lab at 4100 Montrose, which is a truly perfect venue. After all, what can possibly beat an Irish pub for storytelling? Check out all the specifics about this special event, along with information about becoming a member, at www.houstonstorytellers.org.
Thank you, Jacob. I appreciate it. And that is a great event, really. And Greg, you're out there. We're going to introduce you in a moment, but you ought to go see that, too. You would really enjoy it. And some of you may remember when So What's Your Story was regularly scheduled for an hour each month as an open journal. And a lot of you said, you know what? Once a month isn't enough. We want it every week. Well, you got it, and it's been nothing short of great, genuinely. And starting in December, So What's Your Story is about to become greater. I've assembled, actually ambushed, three outstanding tellers in their own right to rotate hosting responsibilities along with me, each with their own signature style to complement their love of story. Each of them have been a guest teller right here, and they know what we're all about, and they can't wait. They're Mr. Greg Audell, Dr. Warren Holloman, and Rabbi Laura Sheinkoff. Even though you're going to be listening to one of us each week, you're going to meet all three of us, actually four of us. You already know me, so I won't count. But the three of them next week when we banter about the stories of our lives and why this very program will reach unfathomable heights. And that's no hyperbole. I think it will. And it will. So tune in next week and meet voices that will continue to take you on your weekly jaunt into magic only. On So What's Your Story, Pacifica Radio 90.1 KPFT, Houston. Greg, let's hear your voice. Right? Let's hear your voice.
Well, hello, storytellers.
Great. And we're excited to have you, right? We are excited to have you. And,
I'm very excited to be bringing interesting people, telling their stories, right. and sharing them with all our listeners.
And Greg, you are a teller at The Moth. You've been on the show, and you're a real story lover, and we really do appreciate it. The idea of telling stories has become an addiction for a lot of us, I know, but it is such an important institution. It really is, because it's a way of validating our lives. It's a way of bringing community together, and I think, at this wonderful station, which is all about community radio. The idea of us doing this is a great thing, really a great thing.
Well,
anything you want to share with us?
Well, it's fundamentally how we learn to communicate, is storytelling.
Yes. Yep. You know, we put it together because we are natural storytellers. We love to talk about our lives because they matter. And our lives are our stories, and our stories are our lives. Let me ask the two of you, what prompted you, for God's sakes, to take a storytelling course? Did you have to do that? You didn't have to. Why?
To be honest.
You read RateMyProfessor.com.
In all honesty, I was told that this was going to be an easy A.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Well,
I did enjoy the class. It was a great experience. I mean, learning experience.
That's why, because you're a pre-med student, you want to get really good grades, correct?
Right, right.
Yeah, let's be honest. Okay, good. So it's an easy A. Well, it's an easy B, I can tell you that. It is an easy B. Easy A, yeah, a lot of people do get A's in there, but it's not the kind of class that is supposed to be terribly, terribly difficult, but it's a very challenging class because it gives you a chance to do something that you don't do in other classes. You think of yourself, you think of stories, you think about ways of telling them. It's a course about human expression, and we've got nothing like that anywhere. So to that end, it's really pretty powerful. What about you?
I was just registering for classes and, you know, searched under, like, all the communication courses, and I came upon storytelling, and I was like, oh, we have a storytelling class. That's awesome. And it just immediately struck my interest, and I was like, I really want to take that. And then when I mentioned it to a few friends of mine in the theater group, they were like, oh, is it with Dr. Rubicek? You have to take it. He's the greatest professor.
See, that's the kind of thing that you should be saying. Precious. You should really be doing that. But I'll teach you how to do that with more diplomacy.
And
you're
I'm not
supposed to
that
lie
up.
When you're on a person's
no,
show.
No, I'm
you
not
see?
Lying.
You're not, no. Now, Lydia's telling the truth. Even if she's lying, she's telling the truth. You see what I'm saying? But you need
she's
to do
actor,
that, too. You
so
need
she
to
does.
Do that,
you're
too.
An
yeah,
actor.
All right. But I appreciate that. And it is. And it's really wonderful to have you both in that class. It really is. Absolutely magnificent. Now, you talked about the fact that your father is your storyteller, right? He was your sort of storyteller role model. Do you have a storyteller in your home? Anyone that you think of that kind of led the way? No?
I can't think of just any one person who was like the storyteller of the family, but my dad has definitely had interest in theatrical type of pursuits in his past. He used to do Toastmasters and lip syncing and stuff.
Kind of an animated kind of a guy.
Yeah.
The kind of guy you want at a birthday party. I get the idea.
Yeah.
Right.
And so sometimes he would tell stories, and some of the time it was stories of his own past and his own life, or, you know, family stories. It wasn't all, he wasn't so much the sit down and let me read Cinderella to you kind of stories, but, you know. My mother, she would read books to us and read stories to us, so, you know.
Right. Yeah. You have any shout-outs? Anybody that you want to say hello to tonight?
Yeah, I'd like to shout-out to my boyfriend, Jason Rivas.
Jason,
thank you for
very good.
Your support and being wonderful. And
oh,
all
please.
My friends.
Yes.
And
oh, my gosh.
All my friends at the UHD O'Kane Theater group.
Yes, yeah.
And just all the professors at UHD. They're amazing.
Oh, that's wonderful. Have you got any shout-outs? Anybody?
My brother, Sean. I told him I was going to say his name on the radio.
Yeah,
so.
And he likes that. How old is he?
He's 13.
Okay, so he would appreciate that. Yeah. He would appreciate that.
My
I
brother's
love that.
Name is Sean, too.
Really?
Shout-out to my brother, Sean.
I love
and the rest
it.
Of my family.
All right. Yeah. You see, the connection just keeps just happy. Two brothers named Sean. Yeah. We care. We care, don't we? Yeah. We're going to pretend to. Folk tales have given pleasure and delight for centuries, and ultimately many of them have become a source of wisdom for generations of people who had no psychology textbooks to reference or certified therapists to consult. Thank you, Lydia Jackson and Precious Owagu, for enhancing that delight with your dynamic expression and for helping us tap the corners of our imagination. You guys rock, and we appreciate it so, so, so much. Scooter is up next with the inner side to complete the backside of this Power Hour on KPFT. Make 90.1 a part of every day, and while you're driving home, turning in for the night, or just chilling out, join us every Thursday at 10 p.m. for So What's Your Story and ease into the weekend right. You keep loving a great story, and I'm going to keep bringing them to you. Be good to each other. Till next week, I'm Dr. Hank, reminding you that it is never too late to live happily ever after. Peace. Ooh, everything is gone. All right.
It's the season for the Pacifica Radio Archives annual National Broadcast Fun Drive. This year, our two-day broadcast beginning on Tuesday, November 17th at 6 a.m. kicks off 10 days of history for the holidays, ending on November 27th, or Black Friday. Consider this alternative to the frenzy and give the gift of knowledge, of history that lasts a lifetime and can be shared with family and friends. We will be presenting historic and inspiring recordings from the collection going back to 1949, including John Lennon, recently restored women's history programs, 4 hours of a rare Jimi Hendrix documentary, and newly discovered recordings, so tune into your Pacifica station.